welcome to the CCTA wake-up call. And we enjoy your being with us, and we're glad that you can spend some time with us. I'm Bob Griswold.
I'm Mary Griswold.
I'm Alan Harrop.
I'm Glenn Fink.
We're going to start off with a discussion that we don't necessarily all agree on, but I think it's going to be an interesting discussion on the impeachment of President Biden. Marjorie Taylor Greene has introduced articles of impeachment against President Biden. I'm not exactly sure what the charges are. They might be dereliction of duty because of the border, but I'm not really sure what the charges are. But I'm going to open it up to you guys to talk about what you think.
What I heard on a brief snippet as I was walking out the door coming here this evening was it was more focused around this bribery stuff is at least what she introduced when she was in front of the mic saying that this was going to go forward.
So it's a
whether it gets picked up by the floor and all that stuff, I don't know, but that was what she pointed
to. A misuse of the Justice Department?
Yeah. There's a lot of possibilities. What I had read was that this representative from Colorado, Lauren Boebert.
Yes.
That she, and I guess Ms. Green, were the primary movers in this. And they had several other of the real conservative caucus of the Republican House. And she sent out an email where she was just focusing on the border issue. And my understanding is that she was successful in getting it voted on on the floor today. And what happened was they voted to return the resolution to committee. I guess the notion was they had a couple of committees that were looking into issues about him. There is the Homeland Security Committee looking into the border situation. There's also the Comer Committee that's looking into potential
bribery
and other kind of misuse of funds and so on. So I think the strategy appears to be to gather all that information first, let the committees finish their reports, and then in the fall they would apparently be in a position to perhaps move forward with it. So
now,
that's what I heard where it stands. So at least they got it before the floor.
Because when I heard it had been sent to committee, I figured that was because they didn't want to deal with it. But you have a different take on that they're gathering their information. That's very interesting because another story came out today that the Department of Justice prevented the U.S. attorney from charging Hunter Biden for more crimes than he was actually charged with. And we can get into that Hunter later, but obviously Hunter is tied to Joe. And there is serious circumstantial, at least, evidence that Joe's been involved in a lot of things that are very questionable. And I guess that the bottom line for me is, how do you afford $1 million beach house in Delaware on a public servant's salary for 50 years?
Well, I think the issue of impeachment having to do with issues like you're talking about, the financial thing, there are some people who look at it and say, well, what the Democrats did to the previous president, the President Trump, needs to be considered. There needs to be some sense of retribution. You did this to our guy, and we have a lot of information and accusations about you, so let's return the favor. Now, some people think that's a bad idea, and I'm not sure where I stand on it. But I think that certainly if these committees can verify what they're looking at, certainly he has failed to fulfill his obligation when he took the oath to enforce the immigration laws. He took an oath to enforce the laws of this country, and he's failed to do that. That should be by itself prima facie evidence for it. And now if something comes up with this bribery and the money laundering and his family getting all these millions of dollars unexplained and no evidence of that they did anything to earn it, then that would be something else. So maybe they'll have a lot more ammunition. Maybe that's the plan.
But are we in a situation now where we're actually lacking a focus. I mean, if we saw that the president was abusing one constitutional privilege, you know, and we could focus on that one constitutional privilege and then and just direct all of our effort to that. We have just seen so many things right from day one when he shut down the pipeline, when he did a whole bunch of different things, and since then has, I'm going to say, ignored the laws, ignored the Constitution, ignored a few other things. That's from my perspective. I'm, you know, again, I'm not sure how everybody else sees it, but I just see so many. It's much like a kid having a temper tantrum in a grocery store. What do you stop them when? How do you stop the temper tantrum, meaning all of these abuses?
Well, I think what Alan said was those are two key things that are easily focused on. They're front and center. So I don't think it has to be shotgunned. And even though retaliation doesn't bother me a bit on its face value, these things, independent of any history of prior president, on the face value of everything that's been done, articles of impeachment sure seem appropriate, assuming they gather their facts and know they got a sound case.
Well, would you go for articles of impeachment or would you go for the 25th Amendment?
Oh, you're about talking about his mental capacity,
yes.
And so
would you
on.
Would you demand a cognitive test instead?
I would. Well, I would keep them separated. I would go for impeachment for the purposes of what was originally stated. Sorry, Alan.
Because he's broken the law.
Yeah.
And the retribution, as you say, to me, the retribution plays no part in it at all. They never proved that Trump broke any laws.
If we went back to the days of Harry Truman, and Harry Truman had the sign on his desk, the buck stops here. Regardless of the abuses and who is controlling him, he is still responsible for all of the actions.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is if you allow a president to violate his oath, let's just focus on the immigration laws. He didn't get the laws changed. He just ignored them. He modified them as he saw fit, and he did exactly what the Democrats said they would do when they were debating prior to the election, that they would have open borders. And that's what they've done. They didn't legislate it. They're just doing it by executive order or executive ignoring of his oath. And that's unacceptable. And we have presidents that do that. I mean, we've lost the country, I mean, in my opinion.
And we have an excessive amount of executive orders. Now, we've had that for a while. We've had that with a couple of presidents. But, I mean, the man has killed the economy with his energy proposals. There are some real questions as to who profits by his energy proposals, which is another part of the corruption. So, I have no doubt there are grounds. I'm just, it's going to appear to be political, even if it's not. I don't see it going anywhere, but I think you're correct in saying we've got to make the statement. We've got to take the stand.
And I think one thing they recognize is that the legacy media, okay, the fake news, they're going to continue to try to ignore all the evidence that comes up, okay? All the stuff about the money that going to his family and all these other allegations. They cannot ignore an impeachment effort. That's going to get a lot of coverage. And that may be the only way to get these facts out, assuming that the Republicans come up with some valid facts, that they're going to get out more readily through an impeachment process, because right now the fake news just ignore it. You go on CNN and these other networks, you don't hear any of these things.
Newsbusters, the day that Trump was indicted, they analyzed the coverage, and every network spent serious time on the Trump indictment. Nobody mentioned the whistleblower that had come out with stuff on Biden. Nobody mentioned Hunter Biden. I mean, the American people are not getting a fair deal from their news media. They're not getting the information they need to be intelligent voters and informed citizens. You're right on that.
Well, I mean, it's completely isolated, to your point, Alan. I mean, it's not like they don't get much news. It is silenced. And if all you do is watch the mainstream networks and go to your socially left-bent social sites, you will actually not see this stuff at all.
Yeah.
You won't. You just plain will not see it.
Yeah.
So I agree. Getting it out there, people can not watch it, but it will be on TV for all to see.
See, the other thing, too, is I think people who vote for conservatives to go to Congress expect them to stand up for conservative principles. And if you don't, the biggest complaint you hear is that people don't stand up and do anything. And this would be an opportunity for the conservatives to stand up and show we are not going to roll over anymore. We're not going to play footsie. We're going to come out and stand up for our principles, which gets to one of the topics I know that's important to you, Glenn. And the other thing is just, some people say, well, we don't want to impeach Biden because then we'll get Harris. Harris, in my opinion, is no worse than Biden. They're both going to be controlled by other people. And I think Harris is less electable than Biden would be. So I think we'd be better off as conservatives if we had Harris instead of Biden, because Harris, nobody supports her.
Now, I think that if there was an impeachment, we would sort of break the spin cycle, the news spin cycle.
Yeah.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from some of our advertisers, and thank you for staying with us. This is the Wake Up Call for CCTA. You have an enjoyable time listening to our sponsors.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. Let's go into another discussion. Mary, you want to?
I have a quote I would like to read, and this quote is from the 1960s, and it's from a man by the name of Carol Quigley. The argument that the two parties should represent opposed ideals and policies is a foolish idea. Instead, the two parties should be almost identical so that the American people can throw the rascals out at any election without leading to any profound or extensive shifts in policy. Then it should be possible to replace it every 4 years if necessary by the other party, which will be none of the things but will still pursue with new vigor approximately the same basic policies. I think that's where we are. We have, other than Trump, we have been on a big government growth path for a long time. And I know we have conservatives that are fighting big government, but I don't think their voices are necessarily carrying.
Yeah, I agree there might be some specific things like not controlling the debt. Mm-hmm. That the Republicans have contributed, as gone along with the Democrats. But I think ideologically, I've never seen the two parties as separate as they are now. The Democrats now are essentially Marxists. Since Obama came in, and remember what he said when he first said, we are, how many days, 5 days away from fundamentally transforming this country.
And that's
you
what
don't
he tried
say
to
that
do.
About a country you care about and a country you respect and love. Well, he was a Marxist. He is a Marxist. And the Democratic Party has shifted dramatically in that direction. And I think the Republican Party trying to continue to represent, I think, conservative views, finds themselves more and more at odds with the Democrats, don't you?
Well, I do on many fronts, but I think our recent example of the debt ceiling shows how we are more of a uniparty, especially when you look at the perspectives on how the Republicans share how much of what we originally went for we got. Some folks say we got 70% of what we were going after. That's a spin. Because we got 10% maybe of what we went after. And if you listen to a Congressman Bishop on his perspective, and he shared a good bit at a recent convention, and at the end of his sharing, there was a standing ovation and huge applause because he was critical of what we got out of that debt ceiling thing. Mm-hmm. There was another congressman that shared and had a different perspective that was not well received, I'll just say. Mm-hmm. So in that setting, it was clear that we didn't get near what we should have gotten. And it is a lot of spin on how much we got out
there
of that
is
process.
The major difference right now, I think, is in social issues.
I agree.
The abortion issue and the transgender surgery on children issue.
And the border.
And the border, yeah.
And the border. I mean, you have...
And energy. That's a dramatic difference.
Okay. There
Green
is,
energy
yes.
versus energy independence. You couldn't get further apart than they are now.
And it's interesting, just as an aside, there's an article, excuse the shameless plug, there's an article up at Right Wing Granny that Europe is going back to oil because they've discovered that green energy will not meet their needs. It won't keep them warm in the winter. It won't keep them cool in the summer. And I think that's interesting because we're starting to find out that green energy is not all that green. The lifespan of the blades on the windmills, the solar panel, you know, there are some problems there. But they're different in some areas, but yet the Washington Uniparty seems to be in control. I mean, we're moving toward green energy. Why can't we stop it?
Well, I think that there's tactical issues. Like this budget thing, I believe that was a tactical difference in how to approach that and so on. I agree they should have held out for more, okay? But I don't see the unification between Republicans and Democrats ideologically. For example, this past Saturday, we had a local congressman, Dr. Greg Murphy, and he came and gave a speech to a group. And there's no Democrat that would ever give the speech that he gave that on Saturday. No Democrat would say what he said. If they did, they would ride him out of the, they would tar and feather him. And, you know, that kind of difference It's there. The problem is getting them to stand up for those things. That, to me, is the challenge.
Well, do you believe that if the Republicans truly wanted the border closed, that it would be closed? I mean, the corporate Republicans like the cheap labor. The Democrats want the future voters. Do you think if the Republicans, not the corporate Republicans, but the other Republicans were in control, that they could get it done?
Well, they did under the Trump administration. They fought it. Part of the reason they voted for him in the first time was because he was pushing border security. And although there were some, you know, people in Congress that didn't give him the money he needed for the wall, he got it. And I think the majority of people think that the border situation was much better under Trump than it is now. I don't think the majority of Republicans are satisfied with the border. Now, there may be some exceptions about the Chamber of Commerce and all that stuff, but they're not. I don't consider them conservative Republicans anyway, most of them.
And remember, Trump tried to reject DACA, and the courts just sort of mealy-mouthed.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
But he did go after it.
Yeah.
And he came out in a speech a couple of weeks ago. First time I've heard this, he came out and said that if he's reelected, he is going to do away with the anchor baby provision. And that means that illegal immigrants, children who are born in this country, will no longer automatically be citizens. Because what happens is they have a child, it's a citizen, and then their parents can obviously, they have to stay, so you can't deport them anymore. Then they bring in the uncles and the aunts and the cousins, and this is how it needs to be stopped. But I have never heard any other politician.
Nobody else.
Talk about that. Never.
The anchor baby law was very useful in the early days of America when we were trying to settle the country. I think we've settled it. And there was a situation up in Boston where a woman came in legally, but brought her family in through chain migration, and the result was 21 people on welfare. That's not the same immigration that we had that built this country.
Well, you have people from overseas that fly into the country when they're pregnant just to have the baby so that baby's a citizen.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, like you said, in the early days of America, the idea that if you're born here, you're a citizen, that makes sense. But what's going on now is just being totally abused.
You can either have open borders or you can have a social safety net. You can't have both. Because people will take advantage.
And citizenship used to mean responsibility. Now it sort of means privilege.
That's a good point.
Only it really even doesn't, because there are places where illegal immigrants have been given priority over citizens.
Well, we've seen where was it UNH? I don't remember which. Some of the schools are giving in-state tuition to the illegals, but the out-of-staters, U.S. citizens, are
paying more.
It gets down to, you know, I think something that Glenn's interested in, I don't want to speak for you, but the issue about conservative values and are we, can any country exist with great numbers of people who don't share your basic principles and values? I say no. It's never happened. What? If you look back historically, why did Rome fall? Rome fell because they had such a conglomeration of different groups of people who didn't share their values, and we're going down the same road. That's why in the 1920s, the Republicans put a stop on all immigration, which stayed in effect until the mid-1960s, so the Democrats overturned it, which basically took immigration down to almost zero. Because they wanted time to absorb and culturalize the immigrants that came in the early 1900s, of which that was the biggest period of legal immigration.
There's also another aspect of that. If you have 40% of the people in the country who are not paying taxes, they don't care how high the taxes get.
Yeah.
And a lot of these illegal immigrants and a lot of the people on welfare are not paying taxes. So what do we do? Do we start taxing the people on welfare? I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I think, you know, Steve Forbes had the idea when he ran in 2012 when he's talking about a flat tax, that everybody would pay 10%. And you get a little card, you put in your salary, and you calculate 10%, you'd send your check with it. Not all this. I do my own taxes, and it is complicated. Now I dread it. Like
it's a mess.
But the big corporations, they have their tax attorneys, and they're the ones that benefit from it. But you're absolutely right. You don't have any skin in the game if you're not paying any taxes.
And our tax code is a tribute to lobbyists.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. The tax code has more pages than the Bible.
And I think it's probably bumping 50%, some of the last numbers I saw, that were really essentially not paying taxes.
Yeah. And that's not a good thing for the country either.
And that 50% can always vote to take more from the Treasury, yes. Yeah. And it's self-defeating, yeah. Folks, we're going to take another quick ad break to hear from our advertisers, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back. Glenn, I'm going to pass the baton to you.
Sure. The topic that came to my mind earlier today and was shared is that we really have to get serious about conservative values here in North Carolina and make sure that those values show up in our legislation and that we make sure we aren't a magnet for people with values that truly different from where we're at. If you look at the states that support abortion, they tend to be liberal states. That support even sports betting things, they tend to be the liberal states. The legalization of marijuana, they tend to be liberal states. If we continue to look at legislation that makes us starting to look like those regions of the United States that have a support for those things, well, we have to fight, we're going to have to fight that much harder to keep our state conservative, to have conservative values. And that's my concern. And I feel like why that's important to me is that we have to protect our sovereign state of North Carolina. I am not so confident that we can keep our United States conservative, but we need to focus on what is more doable, and that is the North Carolina state, and use every remedy and tool we have to defend ourselves from a federal government that is and likely will continue to run amok under whoever's
continue to overreach.
Yeah,
yep.
Continue to overreach. So that's how I start it and kick it off and maybe open it to a lot of other comments.
I'd like to address the more general issue that I think is creating what you're describing in the legislature, because I think that the legislators are reflecting what's going on in the culture. And I think we are moving away rapidly away from the Judeo-Christian principles that were the founding of this country. The idea that everybody, you work, you're responsible for yourself, work and family, getting married, having children, respect for your neighbors, helping your neighbors out individually, and not relying on the government and so on. These were principles that were what founded this country. And we're moving further and further away from it. And you look at just what's happening with, like, church attendance. You got to ask yourself, where do you learn those principles? Well, you learn them in church. You'll learn them in family discussions. You'll learn them in school, okay? And the question is, where are we failing to provide those values and that instruction in those areas? If you look at church attendance, it's down dramatically. There was a time for, and this was up until about the year, about near 2005 or so, say from 1940 up to about the year 2000, about 70% of the people in this country said that they belonged to a church. Now it's down to less than 50%. And that's dropped. Now that's in 20 years now. And it's going down further. And if you look at the younger people, the people from 18 to 25, it's down to like 25%, 23%. So what we're seeing is that the influence of religion from the standpoint of teaching values and morals has dropped dramatically. Now, you know, and like I said, that's just one of the pieces, but it's clear that that's happening. You know, there's other areas where the influence is in the wrong direction, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
There was a Gallup poll recently. There's an expression that you may have heard that Satan always overplays his hand. And the transgender movement is starting to bring Americans who are not part of the LGBTQ community awake. And Gallup did a poll about whether or not transgender athletes should be allowed to compete on sports teams of the opposite sex. And 93% of Republicans said no. 67% of independents said no, and 48% of Democrats said no. And then they did another poll about whether or not changing one's gender is morally wrong, and 55% of people said that. Now, I'm not willing to go there. If someone is truly disturbed, they need to work that out with their psychologist, and their psychologist or psychiatrist needs to look at the root of the thing and deal with it. Gender dysphoria is a disease. We need to treat it as a disease. We don't need to affirm it as a way of life. But the culture is, because it's been so overplayed, and we have Leah Thomas winning awards for women's swimming, when other girls are losing their scholarships because a man is taking those scholarships away.
After his third year in college as a male.
Yeah, where he wasn't doing too well competing against men. So I think that we are seeing a slow culture shift. Unfortunately, it's not based on the firm Judeo-Christian foundation. It's based on what people are seeing around them. Now,
some of it.
I'd like to interject, but one, we lost this two generations ago when our schools became indoctrination factories.
Yes.
And that's what got us. So we don't have time to turn that ship around. We can work on that, but we can't unindoctrinate our kids fast enough to save our country.
Well, you know what?
So that, I guess that's one point is they played the long game and they got us behind the eight ball now. But I will also say, if we can elect conservative people if they run on conservative values, I know they're supposed to represent the people, but if they clearly state their conservative values and they win, then they should be able to, without any concern about not doing their duty, can vote conservatively on these things. It's just like the House's version of this stuff on transgender. It got watered down to where it didn't worry about counseling, it didn't worry about these blockers, hormone blockers or whatever. It had surgeries in there. It was a watered down version is what got to the floor. Now the Senate's version is a lot stronger. But all I'm saying is even on those very critical things, they can't stand up. They can't stand up and just say this is right and this is what we need to move forward instead of given up on key attributes.
The question becomes then, how do you make a legislator fulfill the promises they make when you elect them?
You vote them out?
Well, you can vote them out, but there's other things you can do. For example, you can have town hall meetings with them. Bring them in front of groups of people who are their constituents, and confront them with what they're doing. Ask them pertinent, very direct questions. Do you intend to vote for A, B, C, D? If those are the things that you want them to vote against, or you want them to vote whatever you want them to do, then you are challenging them very directly. It's like this Medicaid expansion crap that went, pardon my language, went through. That was a real disappointment because the conservatives had been opposed to that for years. Then all of a sudden they get the order from on high from their leadership and they swap over. And that's the problem. I think these elected officials, they go to General Assembly or they go to Washington and they start answering to the leadership, no longer to their constituents. They should be required on a regular basis. We should have meetings, town hall meetings, that we should invite them to. And the people should be, if they don't come, then you vote them out. But if they come, and they should be given very direct marching orders, what you expect. That's what I think they should be done.
Well, the problem.
Then if you have to vote them out, you vote them out.
You confront them on how they have voted and what are coming up for
but
votes.
But part of the problem with that, and you can laugh at me for this one, is Republicans tend to be polite. We saw that at the Saturday meeting with Greg Murphy. There were a lot of people in that audience who did not like his budget vote. I don't think one of them spoke up, did they?
I think there might have been some people after the question.
Yeah, but there was nobody
period.
In the public.
None of the questions addressed
yeah.
that. But that was a very limited opportunity. But let's say we had that more frequently. Mm-hmm. Well, you could get more questions. And the problem we had, we only had a 15-minute period of time for questions.
Yeah, we had a small window, yeah.
And we got, I think, we had four structured questions, and then it was open to the group. But you're right. I mean, people have to express their views.
Yeah.
You know, I want to roll back just a little bit. Remember, I'm going to place the blame on some parents, okay? We're going to go back a couple of generations where we were raising children, and rather than taking them to church, we came to the point of saying, I'm going to let the child decide when they get old enough. Well, guess what do they get to decide between? If they've never been exposed to a a good moral environment, what do they get to decide between? They get to decide whatever their teacher has taught them as a...
You're absolutely right, Bob. What happens, I think, is that nowadays, and again, you can't help reflecting back in your life, or I can't help, things that I experienced. And I remember very vividly, first of all, we used to have meals together sitting around a table, okay? We didn't sit over there watching TV, eating, and that kind of stuff. And we had many conversations around the dinner table about a variety of issues. And I'm going to give you a personal experience. One of my son-in-laws was visiting us a couple months back. And we were at dinner table. It was after holiday. We're sitting around and, you know, we'll start bringing up topics, people talking. And an issue came up about this transgender stuff. Immediately, he says, shh, don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. The kids. Now, the kids were 9 and 12. One was 7. That's the age they need to hear it, because that's what they hear in the school. But the parents are not assertive enough about their own values with their own children, and they're letting them, like you said, well, let's let them go decide to go to church.
Yeah, let them on.
If they
on
knew
their
what
own.
Was best for them, they wouldn't be children. Let's face it. Okay.
Yeah, very good. We have anything else that we want to throw in right now? Okay, well then, folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our advertisers, and we will be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back. Mary, I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
One of the recent headlines was the end of the investigation into Hunter Biden, and he was charged with a misdemeanor gun crime, I believe, and he paid back $1 million in back taxes, so that was theoretically settled. I have a couple of questions. I would like to know what business ventures he was involved in that created the $1 million worth of tax debt. I think that would be an interesting question that would have that could be answered. And I also would like to know how many other people charged with the same gun crime that he was charged with got the same sentence.
The same slap on the wrist?
That he got.
Oh, I can't remember them. There's a half a dozen people up on the screen that had similar gun violations that all spent time in jail or prison.
I think that's...
And these aren't small people. These are star people.
I think that's more the typical standard mm-hmm. if you did that violation, because it's a clear violation. It's not like, well, I delayed paying my taxes. So this is acquiring a weapon you're not allowed to have, and you're anyway.
So news sources out there, they identified a half a dozen big names that didn't evade time in jail or prison.
They investigated him for 5 years, and oddly enough, the indictment was, or the end of the investigation was announced just about the time President Trump was indicted. And as usual, and I don't say this as a criticism, it's an observation, as usual, President Trump took up all the oxygen in the room, and somehow the news just didn't do a whole lot of reporting on what went on with Hunter Biden. There's nothing in this investigation about his laptop or the things on his laptop. Took them 5 years to not find anything on his laptop.
I believe there were also some events that had exceeded,
Statute of limitations
because of that five-year delay. Even though they knew about the laptop, even though they had the laptop, confirmed that it was his laptop, but we're going to wait until it exceeded statute of limitations.
Well, they had a prosecutor on, I can't remember what his name was. He was on Newsmax the other day, and he was talking about this, and he said, well, the typical failure to pay taxes charge takes about a week to investigate. And the same thing, he said, about maybe another week for the gun thing. You either filled out the form and you didn't put that you were using drugs, Or you did put your user. It's real clear. You don't have to take 5 years to figure that out. But it's all part of, like you say, to delay it. Hopefully it'll go away, or maybe statute of limitations will expire. And so it's all part of the DOJ is part of the Biden administration.
Whether it's true or not, apparently, at least the quote rumor is that he paid off his $1.2 million back taxes by selling a couple of pictures to China.
Now, well, they've got it. They have his back. That's for sure.
Now, is this Banana Republic stuff?
Yeah. Well. It feels like it to me, and all I would say is nothing that was done in terms of the stuff that Trump said, the airtime he got, took any air away from the primary liberal media, the ABC, NBC, CBSs, because they don't need oxygen. They can stay below the radar screen on anything mm-hmm. that would shine a light on these things that are important to conservatives.
So what happens to the American voter? Do they have a way of finding out about this stuff if they watch the mainstream media?
Well, not the mainstream media, but those people who are watching the mainstream media probably lost anyway. I mean, if you're watching the mainstream media today, you got your head in the sand about what's going on in this country. And, I think that Newsmax, some of the other stations, and some of the talk hosts have covered the topic pretty well. What's so hypocritical to me is that the Democrats are now saying, well, Hunter Biden did these things because he was a drug addict. And, you know, if you're a drug addict, you got to give the guy a break. And now he's off drugs and so on and so forth. But what they're doing with the sentence, they're requiring him to go to drug treatment. And he alleges he hasn't done drugs for years. So they're kind of caught in this bind. They're using, well, it's because of his drug
abuse
that he did these things. So now they have to send him to a treatment that supposedly he doesn't need because he's off the drugs, just to make it all look like it's, legitimate, which of course we all know it's illegitimate.
It's illegitimate, and the, again, the Department of Justice, or whether
Department
it's the
Department of Injustice,
Department of Injustice, or whether it's the Attorney General or who it is. I mean, what percentage of America trusts them? Now, I realize, if you're looking at conservatives versus liberals or whatever else, you're going to find a difference of opinion. But there's also a great majority of people in the middle that, do they not know that this is happening? Do they not know that some inner cities are never arresting or confining a criminal? Do they know that what's going on in inner cities, what's going on in this Justice Department, what's going on?
Well, the answer to your question is, did they know that Fetterman was unable to perform his functions as a senator? I mean, anybody with eyes and ears could have told that guy had no business being elected to the Senate. They elected him anyway. So the point I'm making is that there are a group of the people in the country, and I hope it's not so far that it'll never come back, who are just, it doesn't matter what they come up with. They're gonna vote for the people. And part of it, I think, is like a guy like Biden. He has one big advantage over other candidates with the left. Every little leftist group, no matter what their persuasion, they can get him to support them. Transgender, they raised this pride flag over the
White House,
which is actually treasonous, to the extent that he's, you know, that's not the country's flag. And all the, you know, the reparations, slavery reparations, you name a leftist cause, and Biden will support it. So he's the ideal president for the left, because he'll do whatever they want him to do. He's the puppet in chief.
I want to point out something, because you referenced it. I belong to a liberal group on Facebook, and I'm not going to name the group. But somebody put up the question, and again, this is a liberal group, just curious of the left's opinion on Fetterman and his ability to be effective in the Senate. Before you all start accusing me of picking on him for having strokes or some issues resulting from those strokes, calm down. I'm not picking on him at all. He can't help it. There are obvious adverse effects from the strokes. Do you think these effects limit or diminish his ability to be an effective member of the Senate, and why? I'm going to read two of the replies to this question. Why wouldn't he be? The second reply is, I think the key is, can he legislate? I think he'll do fine.
Well, he'll do fine by following what the Democrats tell him to do. Of course he'll do fine.
Now, if I, as an average citizen, now went up to the White House for a dinner in sweats,
and a hoodie
and sweats, is that acceptable dress for going to the White House now? Because a sitting U.S. senator has done that.
Yeah, and does he even know that there is such a thing as the dress code? I don't even know. And the same thing, you know, it's the same issue with Biden, maybe not quite as severe, but one of the TV hosts the other day had a kind of a summary of all the gaffes that Biden has made. And when you put them all together and you're in a sequence of them, it's scary. Not Fetterman scary, but damn close to Fetterman scary. And he's got his thumb on the button that can destroy humanity. And a guy like Fetterman, you know, you never know what these people can do at that level, but they keep voting for him.
Mm. They do. Do we want to head off to a different topic?
Yeah, I have I don't know how much time we have left, but there is a topic that's heating up in the country, not so much in North Carolina thus far, but if it heats up the rest of the country, it's coming here. Where you can't isolate yourselves out. And that has to do with slavery reparations. Reparations given to blacks who can trace their ancestry to back to when there were slaves, and that they have family members that were slaves. And there's also other blacks that think just because they're black that they deserve reparations. And they're doing it in California. They have a bill that's been presented. They have a study commission that's come out with these recommendations. And what they're doing now is this, they're backing off the amount of money that they actually want to award in California. Originally, the commission that they had was recommending a $1.2 million for everybody who qualified for reparations, to a tune of $800 billion. Now, here's a state that's billions of dollars in the red already.
And here's a state that was never a slave state.
Never a slave state. But there's blacks that move there from other states. Mm-hmm. So it's an issue, I think, that warrants some, you know, further discussion, maybe some of our future radio things, because it's not just California.
No, it's
New
not.
York?
It's New York, Illinois, Mississippi, Boston. There's a lot of cities and states that are coming up with this. Look at Asheville. Asheville had an incident where they had scholarships. They were only awarding to blacks. If you were not black, you wouldn't even be eligible for a city-sponsored scholarship.
So well, you know, Alan, as you just mentioned, so now if California has taken away this billion-dollar payment, are they now shortcoming the blacks? Do the blacks feel shortcoming? And again, it really has nothing to do with race. It's got to do with the idiocy of the legislature. So do they feel?
I think they're just hiding it. They're hiding the amount so they can get it through.
Well, I was just going to say, and don't know what time we have left, but in the, not the medical marijuana bill, which is, you know, working its way through, but there is a marijuana bill that we might have spoke about it another time, and it is partisan in terms of the membership, the people that did that bill, and it is a liberal group, I'll just say, and it's about marijuana, but embedded in there are these equity councils, which look a lot like the compensating and reparation type things.
Sure.
So even if it's not overt, there's some subvert, and this should never see the light of day on approval. But I'm just saying what will be attempted to be run through is something we got to keep an eye on.
Okay, that's teasers. And you folks, thank you for joining us, and we'll be back next week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle.
You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.